This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I can only say thank you for listening. Even if you don't really rock with me and you're just listening to WFAN and maybe you're waiting for C-Mac to come on. Like, I appreciate it, man. 2,100 plus people watching live in my stream. Full rack of calls. What I usually like to do in this last hour is open it up to whatever conversations you want to have. I've obviously been having the Steve Cohen Mets conversation all night. And then obviously the back and forth between the Yankees and Mets fans and where we are heading into another season as we're a couple days away from actually seeing lineups and games being played. It is great to live in a city where we have two teams. It is great to live in a city where we have two teams with World Series expectations. It is great to have a radio station like WFAN where this many fans care on a Tuesday night like this. Let's continue on talking to you at 888-808-1019. Frank is in Atlantic Highlands on the fan. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Keith. Just want to let you know I'm a big fan of yours. I'm an ex-Spartan, so from Ocean, and I'm really impressed with your work, and that's first and foremost.
Secondly, go Big Red. Go Big Red.
Yeah,
you got a good education at Ocean Township High School.
That was my second thing. Now, if this cat from before could name every city in the world, you know, then we'll listen to him. But for God's sake, to say something like, I feel bad for the people around him. I really do, because to have to deal with that, to wait on hold and then make a stupid comment like that.
Yeah, he's
that,
Greg from Rockland. He's about smart as a rock.
Why even give him his name again? That guy's an
I'm gonna remember that one. I'm gonna remember that one.
Lastly, I really appreciate something so simple as the give and take you had with Chuck a little while ago. We're talking about a Met fan and a Yankee fan going at it respectfully, getting your point across. It was just great. I'm a Met fan. You're a Yankee fan. My father told me, as a big Yankee fan, he goes, Frank, when you were a young man, you made a lot of decisions. You made a lot of wrong ones. And I went against him. I went with the Mets as a kid. He's a Yankee fan his whole life. He's a Giant fan. I'm a Jeff fan. So he still needles me. But the truth is, it's great to have these conversations. And the way you did it with Chuck was something so simple, so respectful. He got points across. You got points across. You agree with some, you disagree, but with a smile, a laugh. And you know, that's what it's all about, sports, man. Life is the so many, you know, tough days that people go through and different trials and tribulations. It's a release. It's an escape. Do it respectfully and have fun with it. I just want to say I'm a big fan. I'm going to let other callers get in. Appreciate your work, Keith, and I'll be listening. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Frank. And shout out to Chuck in the truck. Chuck has called my show multiple times. We have that back and forth, and that's healthy. That's trash talk. That's banter. That's real, right? Like, that's the type of stuff you hear between friends that root for different teams. That's the type of stuff you hear in the group chat. You know, that's just the dynamic in this city, a Met fan versus a Yankee fan, and we don't have to take any low blows. We don't have to make it anything more than Mets versus Yankee. But yeah, if you heard the back and forth between Chuck and I, I know what side he's on, and clearly he knows what side I'm on, and I had a counter for probably everything he said. Let's go to L.A., live out in L.A. on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. I was just calling in to compliment you on how you handled that caller over there. Like, you know me, I moved to San Diego when I was 18, and I said the same thing. I said La Jala. So when I heard you say it, I was like, there's no way he's going to know what to say. I laughed at it. But the way like you handled that caller, I was I'm surprised you even let him back on. I was just like, damn.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to hang up the phone on people. I genuinely appreciate it when people call in and hold. Like, I see him waiting for half an hour, 40 minutes. I'm trying to get to him. And, you know, the funny thing about it is, like, it gave me an opportunity to shout out Dave Sims, our new Yankees broadcaster, taking over for John Sterling this season, because he's the one who texted me to say, hey, you know, just helping you out. Pronunciation. And I appreciate that. And again, I lean on the fact that I am not the smartest guy in the room. I am not smarter than everybody. I don't know everything, but I'm like aware, you know, I'm self-aware. And if I make a mistake or I say something wrong, I'll easily come on out. Just reminded me of something. Yesterday, I called Mike Puma, Ken Puma. And it didn't connect until later in the day. I'm like, Ken Puma is a kid I worked with at Guitar Center in 2013. Mike Puma is the Mets reporter for the Post. I'm like, I got to get on tomorrow night and you know, fix that and clear that up. I don't know, man. I don't take myself so serious. This stuff is fun. It's entertainment. Like Frank just said, like, you know, there's so many other things going on in the world. We don't have to be negative. We don't have to be nasty to people. Exactly. We don't have to insult somebody's intelligence or level of reading comprehension. We're on the phone. Like, Greg would not walk up to me and have that type of energy. I guarantee you, if he saw me in person, he would not proceed like that.
And there's no way you could have known that. Like, you're from Jersey, like you said. There's no way you're going to know some small little town in California.
No. Like I said, I go to L.A. I go from LAX. My sister lives in West Hollywood. I go to Dodger Stadium. And I go right back to Newark Airport.
Yep. But I also had a point on, I saw something that DJ LeMahieu talked to the media today about. He hasn't had batting practice in 2 months, and that's the longest he's ever gone in his life. And then he was saying that it's to help his body out. Do you really think he's going to help him, or you think it's the same old DJ's washed? And that's all I have to say. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Liv. Yeah, I've been to Coachella too. But usually, like, you know, in Coachella's Palm Springs, Indio. Coachella, California is an actual town. But it's like you land at LAX and then you drive out to Coachella. I don't know. Like I said, I don't even know some of these places in New York that you guys call from. I'm like, where's the upstate, Long Island? I don't care. I'm from Monmouth County. I'm from the Jersey Shore. Not far from Atlantic Highlands where Frank called from. But yeah, DJ LeMahieu, I read that too. I have it in my notes. It's the longest he's gone without swinging that he can remember. Like, this is a guy that we called the machine. The hardware may be broken. It just might be time to retire the machine, but he's owed $15 million this year. He's owed $15 million next year. They're going to give it the old veteran try. And, I mean, fingers crossed that it helps. Fingers crossed that he finds it, because this guy was great. And, you know, the other thing he said, and I talked about this earlier in the show, he said he's lost sleep over it. And I have to lean on the human element again, because obviously I'm a Yankee fan. I want to win, as many of you do. But, like, man, imagine DJ signing with the Yankees like he did. I think his first contract was 2 years, $24 million. And on opening day that year, he was on the bench. And this is a guy that had been a batting champ. This is a guy that could play three different positions, but the Yankees did not have a position for him. And when he did actually get going, I mean, we couldn't wait for him to come up, right? His walk-up song was Gonna Speed It Up. Speed it up. Oh, speed it up. I used to be in the stadium bopping, like, let's go, DJ. Let's go, DJ. And then they would play the little, you know, if he gets a knock, they play the little sound effect. Go, DJ. That's my DJ. See, I don't know everything, but I know a lot of hip-hop songs. I got a lot of lyrics in my brain as well. I got to kick a rap again on the Fan just to flex that, right? You know, flex that skill and that brain power. Like, I can actually rap on beat. Coming soon. But yeah, with DJ, man, the human element of, like, this guy is struggling with the fact that he was Mr. Reliable. He was game six, hit a homer in Minute Maid Park that brought tears to Yankee fans' eyes, thinking, we're doing it, before the whole Altuve versus Chapman buzzers thing. And now he's losing sleep over the fact that the team can't rely on him, and he's owed $15 million. This guy was the big fundamental. This guy, you know, is a baseball guy. He don't even crack a smile. He doesn't have anything to say. So, I mean, I hate to talk down on him because he was one of my favorite players in 2019, 2020. I got his player tee. I got his jersey. Speaking of my raps, I kicked a rap during that offseason, basically lobbying, campaigning for DJ to come back. But, you know, Father Time is undefeated, man. It's time to win. And when it goes, it goes. And we see it happen to athletes every single year. And it might just be it for DJ. This might literally be it. There were rumors last year that they were going to possibly cut him, shut him down, DFA him, whatever. He was that cooked. I mean, I hope he's healthy. I hope that he can help because the Yankees are going to try to use him. And now with a hole at third base and a hole at DH, he's on the roster. And they're going to lean into the back of the baseball card. They're going to lean into him being a really good hitter at some points in his career and hope that that is still in there. Isaac in Brooklyn on the fan. Go for it, man. You got it.
Yeah, what's up, Keith? Thanks for taking the call. Just want to give you a compliment like the other people were. But Steve used to tell people that, you know, his co-hosts were the callers and you'd give them leeway. And it's just awesome. You know, if you call at night, you actually get more than, you know, 10 seconds before you get hung up on just because, you know, I get how the programs work. So, Keith, you know, thanks for taking all the calls and spending time. Now, on the Yanks, first of all, I had a argument with somebody in the gym. On paper, Keith, who do you think is a better team going into next season? Lineup, starting pitching, bullpen, Yankees or Mets? And also, the last thing is about third base. What do you think the Yankees are going to do? I know they're going to go with DJ LeMayo. Could you see them making a move throughout, you know, the season? Or do you see them just riding it out with, you know, swinging, you know, the three players they have, just keep rotating them and see what works? What do you think on those 2 points?
Say the last part again with the three players.
Do you think that they're going to make a move by the deadline if nothing's going well? Or do you think they'll just, you know, keep pushing DJ LeMayo out there like they did with Aaron Hicks?
Yeah.
I
hope not.
Yeah,
I hope they learn. I hope they learn. Thanks for the call, Isaac. So the three parts of that, I'll go backwards. You know, I hope that they learn from, you know, running Josh Donaldson out there and Aaron Hicks out there and some of these pitchers out there that just, like, don't have it. And after a while, it's like, come on, what are we doing? You know better. You know, you can't force a round peg into a square hole. I hope. And, like, you don't have to wait till the trade deadline. You know, Luis Arraez got traded, you know, early in the season. I didn't even know he was available. Like, you can make trades right now. They can get going with these games and they can make trades right now. I hope that they don't wait. And, you know, on paper, who do I think has the better roster? I think the better roster is the Yankees. Their bullpen, their rotation, stacked. But, like, yesterday I was kind of going into the rant about how I'm never worried about the bullpen. I'm never worried about the pitching. I'm worried about the hitting. I'm worried about the bats going cold on opening day and getting shut out. I'm worried about the bats going cold in October, pressing and striking out, not being able to string together hits and runs and manufacture runs. And now, with Stanton hurt, the second best hitter on the team, with the hole at third base, three guys that don't really make you too pumped up about who's going to win the spot. Sure, I think Bellinger could be great. I think Paul Goldschmidt can be great because they have greatness in them. We've seen that. Judge is the greatest player in the league. Volpe can take a step forward consistently. You know, Wells can take a step forward consistently. Jazz is electric, and I see people reacting to Jazz and his photo day stuff. He's got the one-time piece, huge necklace around his neck, huge chain. He's got the purple glasses, he's got the hair braided, he's got the Yankee hat just kind of like sitting on the back of his head, not pulled all the way down. He's got the colorful glove and shoes. That's Jazz. Express yourself, homie. Be yourself. You can't grow out a beard, so everything else that they let you do, do it. Jazz can be a good player his first full year for the Yankees. He is a good player. He is an athlete. He could be a great player as well. It all has to come together. Jason Dominguez, but like, You know, when I look at the Mets, the run that they went on last year, they have a lot of those pieces back. They have Juan Soto. And I'm going to say this all year when we come in and, you know, that WFAN music plays and I open up the show and I'm just, well, Juan Soto powers the Mets to another win. Two home runs, the last one in the eighth inning to put the Mets up 4-2. Like, I'm going to tell you, it's Juan Soto, bro. What did you expect? With Lindor, with Pete Alonso, with Mark Vientos. We'll see what Jesse Winker, Marte, Francisco Alvarez, Nimmo, Jeff McNeil, Jose Siri, Tyrone Taylor, the rest of these guys bring to the table. But I kind of question the pitching depth. I think the Mets bullpen is definitely better this year than it was last year. But, man, that rotation, that is, it's a core part of winning games. Your starter that day has to give you length. Do I think that they're going to go sign Jose Quintana? I don't. I think, like, you heard the owner talk about blowing past what they thought they were going to spend. Do I think that they bring back Jose Quintana? No. Do I think they bring back Jose Iglesias? No. Do I think that they give up prospects to trade for Dylan Cease? No, I think this is the team. So if you're asking me on paper, Mets or Yankees, I think Yankees on paper. But as a Yankee fan, I'm not satisfied with two holes in the lineup. But overall, I think they have the better roster. And they're not going to face as stiff of competition. And, you know, Isaac, you led off talking about Steve Summers and his style. I mean, we are completely different, but I do think we have some similar things. And I've talked to Steve a few different times. You guys know I bring Steve on my show, how highly I think of Steve Summers, how gracious he's been towards me now. This is my fourth year, man. I'm about a year and a half in. November will make it 4 years that I've been doing this. I've worked at it. I've tried to get better at it. I hope you enjoy what I bring to the table. And it's high praise to be compared to someone like Steve Summers, who did it for so long. And he's an icon and one of my favorites because of his care, because of his politeness and his respect for callers, because he gets it, man. He gets it. You're on the air at night in the city that never sleeps. There's a ton of people listening and calling. And like I say to you guys all the time, it means something, right? I appreciate you. I could be on here at night with no calls. I see you holding and waiting. I'm not going to rush you off the phone. 888-808-1019. You call in, you do get time. I'm not better than you. I'm not smarter than you. I appreciate you having the conversation with me. Chris is in Manalapan, next on the Fan. You got it, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to tell you that opening day, Giants of this year, you stopped by my son's tailgate, and he had got a couple of great pictures with you, and you were a real gentleman, so thank you.
Oh, I remember. Thank you for calling, and yeah, you know, good times.
I had him and a couple of buddies there. There was like 30 of them out there, and you were gentleman enough to come by and take pictures You hung out for like a half hour, 40 minutes, and that was really nice here.
You know, I've been doing that for years, and there was plenty of years where no one looked at me as somebody or recognized me or cared. I just was hanging out, so I still go and hang out at MetLife.
I just wanted to throw you a thumbs up on that. And then the really reason what I'm calling about is, listen, I'm a huge Mets fan, and like this Frankie Montas signing was a disaster from the beginning. The guy's hurt already. Like, and what do we do? Like, you hear Steve, like, it's like they don't want to invest in pitching. Like, I don't understand the philosophy of the Mets where they're dropping $700 million on an outfielder, but we can't throw any money on starting pitching. Like,
yeah, I mean, Steve always says this, I'll let my baseball people make those decisions, or I'll leave that to my baseball people. He's got David Stearns. So it's David Stearns' philosophy. I heard David Stearns talking, I think I forget the guy from ESPN about, you know, Juan Soto being such a rare commodity and hitting the market at 26 and just being a guy that's so proven and in his prime years, they had to go get him. But you're 100% correct about giving Frankie Montas $34 million. For me,
he's garbage. The guy's garbage.
I'm a Yankee fan.
And I don't mean to say that in a negative way.
No, I know. But like
the guy hasn't What has he done in the last 5 years?
Like, yeah, but you feel like you purchased a lemon, a used car,
a
some junk.
Toy.
As a Yankee fan, I'm scarred from the 9 games he pitched out of 243 possible games, and him ruining Derek Jeter Day, and him being hurt and not available, and him being the pivot from Luis Castillo. The Yankees traded for him, and they gave up, you know, some young pitching depth that we needed, and he just was not it.
Right, but how come the Mets aren't getting Cease? Like, I don't know. Like, we have prospects. We have guys down there, like, that can get us pitching. Like, it's almost like pitching is like defense in football. You're not going to win without pitching.
Yeah, you need the depth. Thanks for the call, Chris. Hope to see you out at MetLife. I don't know how many trips I'm making out there, you know. That's another place that's a hike. It's not a hike for me, because I live in Jersey City, Hoboken, but, like, the Uber situation out there, taking a train out there, whack. And you got to go there and drink. The best way to go is just to park and have a designated driver. But, yeah, man, I was going to MetLife for years, and nobody said anything to me. So I still pull up and roll up, and if you want a picture with me, it's perfectly fine, and I'll crack a beer with you and talk sports. And with Frankie Montas, man, it's a signing that, like, at first you're trusting David Stearns. It's like, okay, he knows something. And I joked yesterday about, like, maybe his cronies in Milwaukee gave him bad info, right? And then Frankie Montas coming here saying, you know, this rotation has the potential, like, any day we could be throwing 5 aces or something along those lines. And if you're injury prone, you stay injury prone. I talked about hearing Susan Waldman a couple years back talking about Frankie Montas and saying he's hurt, he's got a shoulder, he's got this, and he hasn't. And the Yankees traded for him anyway. The Mets signed him anyway, and you're not going to see him till July. Why won't they go get Dylan Cease? I heard Steve talk about, you know, the farm system and how important it is to have a good farm system because that allows them to make moves. I don't think they're giving up their pitching depth, because when you think of their philosophy on signing pitchers and not signing aging pitchers, not signing a guy like Corbin Burns, who's older and to a long-term deal, they want to get these guys for short-term deals and develop pitching in their pitching lab with Hefner, and those guys are coming through the pipeline. You know, they're not going to do like what the Yankees did with the Padres and send them Randy Vasquez and Thorpe and Johnny Brito and Michael King. They're just not. They're going to trust their lab. They're going to trust their internal options. And I don't think that they're going to panic right now because Frankie Montas went down. I kind of have an inkling that they thought that this could happen and that they also knew how the Yankees knew that Stanton was out before we all learned. The Mets knew, too. The Mets knew that this guy potentially was going down as well. Juan is in the Upper West Side. Juan, you're on. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, Keith? I get out of work every night and catch the last hour of your show, and I enjoy it so much, even though you're so biased because you're a Yankees fan. I don't mind it. I'm a huge Mets fan. I feel like you're the most vibrant, expressive host that I could listen to all day. But just a few questions, and I'll hang up to listen to what you say. I've accepted the truth that throughout history, the Yankees have been the big brother, right? But as of this moment, for the past 5 years, I would say, since Cohen took over, I feel like the Mets have come back and taken over. And as Soto said, it's a Mets town now, not just because he said it, but I've seen storefronts advertising most Mets gear. You know, all the other teams are in the back, including the Yankees and stuff. And like you just said a couple of minutes ago, you think that the Yankees lineup is better now than the Mets lineup is.
No, I don't. I think the roster is better. The Mets lineup is definitely better than the Yankees roster. Let's get this clear. The Yankees overall roster, I think, is better than the Mets when you talk about the bullpen and rotation. Lineup, the hitters, the Mets have a better lineup.
What do you think about last year? Was the Yankees lineup better?
No, because the Yankees only had 2 hitters. Remember, Luis Severino said, you only got 2 hitters. You only got 2 good hitters. And when you look at the numbers that the Mets put up, like, anybody could get you 1-9, and they went on a historic run. The Yankees weren't doing that. The Yankees had Rizzo in the lineup, Verdugo in the lineup. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I misunderstood what you said then. It defeats the purpose of my call, because I was going to ask you if you really thought the lineup or roster was better, then how do you explain the Subway Series sweep last year and possibly this year again?
Well, those are different teams.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I can explain it. Thanks for the call, Juan. 888-808-1019. I appreciate you getting out of work and even catching the last hour of my show. All of this goes to podcasts. You can listen on demand wherever you get podcasts. And there's a rewind function in the Odyssey app. You can start from 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m. You can go back. So you never have to miss any of the show. It's 2025. You know, maybe if you only have radio and you miss it, you can't rewind on the radio. But if you have a phone and the Odyssey app, you can listen wherever. Last year is over. And the Mets sweeping the Yankees last year, good on the Mets. I remember the Mets played in Miami, and I guess they got stuck on the tarmac, and they got back to New York late. And the Yankees underestimated the Mets so much, they trotted out Jahmy Jones as leadoff, J.D. Martinez as the cleanup hitter, and I think it was Carlos Narvaez at catcher. It was just the absolute punt lineup, and they thought that they could get by. And I think the Mets beat the Yankees 3-2, and it served them right. I will tell you again, the Yankees do not care about the Subway Series. We get all hyped up about it, and the Yankees' approach is, it's just some games in June or wherever it may be. That's over now. I think now, with the Juan Soto dynamic, you are going to see those games are going to be even more hyped up with the players. They're always hyped up with the fans, but even more competitive with the players. And again, the Mets lineup is one of the best in baseball. It's better than the Yankees. We don't even know how the Yankees are going to line up. We don't know who's leading off. We don't know who's hitting in front of Judge. We don't know. We don't know who's DHing now. There's no way. The Mets lineup is better than the Yankees. But the Mets overall roster, you can't compare the rotation and the bullpen. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. Call me up. We'll be right back. Cam Nam.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah. Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Keep McPherson on the Fan. Appreciate y'all again. I say it every night. I say it every break. Like, this show does not go if nobody is calling, if nobody's listening, if we don't have 2,300 people watching live on the internet right now. Like, if I'm just sitting here and letting you into my sports mind and don't have any calls, I don't have a co-host, it is not the same vibe. So I appreciate you guys listening, calling, and helping to make the show. You know, in this open mic time, there's a couple things from my notes, like what did we miss, what did I not bring up, and I'll sprinkle them there, and then I'll get to these calls, and we'll get up out of here. Appreciate you too, Zoo, as well, you know, but I don't even have to say that. Zoo was the first person I met at WFAN, opened the door for the boy. I didn't know anything about anything. I'm like, where do we go? What do we do? Appreciate you, bro. So, all right, in my notes, Joe Buck will be back. Joe Buck is going to call the Yankees-Brewers opening day game, his first national MLB broadcast since 2021. I hit him up on Twitter. I said, bro, bring Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was my favorite quarterback as a young lad. The reason I chose number 8 playing football. Bring Troy Aikman to the Bronx. I doubt Troy wants to come through. F. Altuve. Those F. Altuve chants are going to turn to F. Juan Soto. Like, seriously, that might be opening day. They might just chant F. Juan Soto opening day. But Altuve has been testing the waters in left field. I saw a video and read a little article about Altuve playing left field. How funny is it? We make a big fuss about Marcus Stroman is a starter, not in the bullpen. I'm a starter. I don't want to go to the bullpen. Rafael Devers says I'm a third baseman. I don't want to be a DH. I don't want to go to first, right? Altuve, world champ MVP, is shagging fly balls in left field to try to help the team. Help the team. I really hope. Like, that is some. I really hope he's in left field at Yankee Stadium. You guys know what a jungle and a zoo and a circus the left field bleachers can be. I'm too old. I don't even go over there anymore. It gets too crazy over there. If they put Altuve in left field in front of some Yankee fans on a Friday or Saturday night, I got to see when the Astros come to town. That is going to be fun. 888-808-1019. I think I hit all the football stuff that I wanted to hit. I think the only thing in the NFL news that I didn't hit is that Netflix is looking to pay for the rights to the NFL Sunday ticket. So if you think you're paying a lot for Netflix now, I mean, you know, they've dipped their foot into the sports streaming game on Christmas with the NFL. They're trying to get the NFL Sunday afternoon package from CBS or Fox, not the NFL ticket package. So, man, we are streaming the dream. We are in the future now. I remember getting Netflix CDs when I worked at Retro Fitness in Neptune, right? We used to have Retro Fitness play like Indiana Jones and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like 80s movies on the TVs in there, and Netflix used to send them. And now Netflix is trying to get the NFL package. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan. Go for it, Ross.
Hello?
What's up, Ross?
Hey, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, oh, my bad. How you doing, man? So, yeah, just really quick, piggyback off that Netflix thing. I saw that just overall. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Ferris Bueller, all that, but even the way they took over Blockbuster, like, they were just, like, breaking onto the scene. Now they basically got everything. I saw Mr. Beast was on the NBA the other day. Now he's got something on Netflix, on Amazon. I mean, just the way, like, stuff from YouTube and Twitch is now taking over the sports world and everything, it's crazy.
Ross, you're way too young to know about those Blockbuster weekends and nights. C-Mac's in here. What's up, Mac?
We had a Blockbuster around the corner when I was growing up. It closed down. It was like 5 or 6 years to get movies from there. But anyway, speaking about movies, I don't think I've talked to you since that Saturday night at U.S.-Canada. And I was talking to C-Mac too about it. I mean, I know there's kind of like the debate about like the all-out like fighting and all. I mean, it was one thing with the WBC. Now you got hockey. We're taking all-out. You're seeing probably twice as much passion in those games in an already passionate sport that you might see on like a San Jose Shark game on a Tuesday night. And it's crazy. You like the complete like polar opposites of an All-Star game nobody cared about to a four-nation thing that some players might care more about than their regular team. And it's crazy, you know, like going into it, there's some guys like Pietrangelo in Vegas with a Vegas team, which is kind of like known for being on the low with their players, telling them, you know, throwing them an LTIR, trying to save as much cap as they can and preventing injuries. So, like, the fact that those a lot of their players are kind of the first ones calling out of it. But now in hindsight, with just the championship game coming up, I mean, this has been, I was telling C-Mac what I said, a guy in Bettman who swings and misses a lot, he knocked it out of the park with this one, and the bases were loaded, man, because this is one of the best things, if not the best thing, he's done as long as he's been commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL is shining. They're winning. Thanks for the call, Ross. I cannot wait for the game Thursday, for there to be this much anticipation and talk during the break. The NHL has done a lot of things right. You can add this to the top of the list. 888-808-1019. I've got 14 minutes left. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Peter, you got it. What's up, Peter? And Peter's got a hold. Let's go to Mogo in Lakewood. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. What do you think the biggest Jets mistake was in the past bunch of years? Do you think it was trading for Hassan Reddick?
Zach Wilson.
Signing Aaron Rodgers or Zach Wilson?
Man, drafting Zach Wilson number 2 overall, giving him the keys to the franchise. Sorry, just had to let you go. I don't know what was going on back there. I remember going to his first start, and I think he threw 3 interceptions against Bill Belichick's defense, and I'm like, this isn't going to go well. And, you know, we were talking tonight, we already mentioned Zach Wilson, when we were talking about Trey Lance and Anthony Richardson and how, you know, somebody's going to get hyped up. It was almost Will Levis a couple years ago. Somebody's going to rise up. There's going to be a quarterback drafted in the top 10 that we're like, what? Didn't know this guy. Like, Zach Wilson had one throw indoors in gym shorts. He was, like, rolling out and then throwing back, like, 60 yards in the air. And it's like, that's the guy. Man, for the Jets to have a rookie offensive coordinator in LaFleur, a rookie head coach in Rob Saleh, a rookie quarter, you had to know that holy trinity, that trifecta was not going to hit. That set the franchise back. If you picked maybe Justin Fields, who might end up being here now, or definitely not Trey Lance. Or if you traded those picks back, I don't even know who else came out in that draft. But, like, that led you to the Aaron Rodgers debacle, right? You had to go get Aaron Rodgers because, all right, well, you know, we can't use another draft pick on a quarterback. We got to get this, like, the Zach Wilson mistake was huge. Just to have that number 2 overall pick and completely whiff on a quarterback. Set your franchise back. Let's see what they do next. Lewis is in Hoboken on the Fan. What's up, man?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, brother?
Good.
Just 2 points. A quick Yankees point. You know, they quoted Vlad Guerrero saying that, you know, the Blue Jays aren't still at that number for him and that pretty much 20 other teams are in competition for his signature. Is that something you think the Yankees should pursue next year? Or should they start chasing after Murakami out of Japan before, you know, he signs a million-year deal with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think Vladdy has got the, you know, Mets in his eyes. I think he's talked so much about the Yankees. I don't think he wants to be a Yankee. I don't want him to be a Yankee. He says he loves to kill the Yankees and he would never sign with the Yankees. So be it. And if he wants to sign with the Mets, he'd be perfect. I think the Red Sox will be in play for him. I think that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to try their best to keep him. I just think that they weren't going to bid against themselves right now, and they can always up the ante. They were willing to give Juan Soto $700 million, so they got the money. They can match any offer for Vladimir Guerrero if they really want to. But I don't think the Yankees. Munetaka Murakami, sure, but he'll probably be a Dodger, right?
Nah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then, real quick on the Giants, I don't know if you saw the report, Floyd Mayweather trying to buy a 10% stake. Do you think that's something that could maybe, you know, give Mara and Tish, you know, kick up the you know where, just to try to make this team a little bit better? Because we both know, you know, Floyd ain't a quiet guy. You know, apparently they're trying to get 10%, but not a controlling stake.
I was about to say, it's not going to be a controlling stake. It's going to be so little that, no, Floyd Mayweather, You know, funny enough, people criticize Floyd Mayweather's reading comprehension and his education. He won't have a seat at the table as far as GM hiring, head coach hiring, who they're drafting. He'll be in the shareholders meetings and that type of stuff, if it's him.
But don't you think that could be, like, just a loud public figure that could really, you know, no one really calls Marin Tisch out on their ish.
What does Floyd Mayweather know about football in the NFL? He's Money Mayweather from knocking guys out, being TBE, the best ever. He can't be too loud about football decisions. I would trust Mara's decisions over Floyd.
Nowadays, who knows if we could trust Mara? The team's been awful for since the Super Bowl, pretty much. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I saw the article. Thanks for the call. Actually, my guy, Ryan Dunleavy, I think, posted it. It was written by Jacqueline Hendricks. And it talks about Floyd Mayweather. He's emerged as a potential buyer for the 10%. Putting together an offer said to be in the $700 million ballpark. My partners and I are always looking at different opportunities, including ownership of sports teams. I can't comment further than that. I don't think, though, like, for Giants fans to think that, like, Floyd Mayweather, his fame and his influence, him being somebody that could give, like, Mara a kick in the ass, I don't think that's the thing. I think they're trying to sell and make this money, and I don't think they're looking for anybody else to be a fly on the wall after they had Hard Knocks and everybody got to be a fly on the wall, and now nobody is going to do off-season Hard Knocks. Literally, the whole NFL said no thank you after seeing how badly that went for the Giants. That's one and done. I enjoyed it so much. I was like, why didn't they do this sooner? Why didn't they start this earlier? We're seeing why. I think it would also be great for, an African-American male to have ownership stake, for there to be, 10% black owner in the NFL, but I do not expect Floyd Mayweather to be like, we need better linebackers. Like, I don't, what does Floyd know about the NFL? Let's see. There's probably only one team I'd be interested in pursuing, and it's the one I played for in 16 years. Who said this? For 16 years and it's local and makes the most sense, but we just got to figure out if they would ever sell a bit. That was Eli Manning. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, no, that was Tom Brady. Tom Brady was famously part of an ownership group that acquired 10% stake in the Raiders. I don't know, the way this article has ads, don't you hate that? The articles have ads where it's like you'll read a little bit, then it's broken up. It was Eli Manning. Weeks before news of the sale broke, Manning, who spent 16 years with the New York Giants, blah, 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 said the idea of purchasing part of the former team is definitely something of interest. Does he have that 700 mil to put up? He could possibly be a part of an ownership group. The Giants need to get a quarterback ASAP. The Giants need to figure out a veteran. Malik Nabers is on tour talking about, wanting a veteran quarterback and also wanting a rookie in here to help the veteran. And man, we're coming up on it. We're coming up on the time. Let's see. Anything else that I did not include? Oh, the Dustin May story. Did you guys hear the Dustin May story? Dustin May, he ate a salad last year that ended his season. It was a freak accident. A hard piece of lettuce tore his esophagus, and he had to go to the emergency room. So, like, the Dodgers learned from freak random things like that happening last year. They have so much depth. I saw a picture today of Roky Suzuki, Yamamoto, Otani, Tyler Glasnow, Tanner Scott. I'm like, oh my. Like, they are going to be tough. Like, just like this, I don't know. But, these dream teams get put together and the wheels fall off. It doesn't always work that way. The baseball gods have a weird way of working against teams like that. So, on paper, you look at the Dodgers and it's like, damn, they have so many. Blake Snell, they have so many possible starters and guys coming out of their bullpen, but they still got to go out there and play. They still got to get the job done. Mets, Yankees, fans, we got to come together. It is us versus the Dodgers, the new evil empire. Josh is in Passaic. My last call of the night. Take as much time as you need, Josh.
Okay, I got a few things, Josh Keith. First off, do you think that, let's say the NHL decides to run back to four nations next year, would any teams block their players from potentially playing due to, you know, injuries happening and intense games?
I think I read something about this being like a precursor to the Olympics or some other international play where they wouldn't run it back next year. They wouldn't do it next year.
And what, let's say whatever they do, or what do you think teams...
Yeah, all-star
they realize how intense these games are. Well, you know, Connor McDavid's getting laid out. Now, Kachuk's injured. There's a goalie that just went out. You know, teams might be, you know, we're not, like, you know, clearly in the number one, so we're nervous about our players rather than, you know, if they were to get injured, be in the actual games they're playing for us, not teams are playing for their country.
It's a different culture. As I was listening to P.K. Subban talk on ESPN today, he talked about, like, you know, basketball players, like, they shut it down. They load manage. They don't play games. Like, Ben Simmons, he collected all that money and wore street clothes, and that's fine. Anthony Davis is always hurt. That's fine. Hockey players, they play hurt. They play injured. Are you hurt or you're injured? They don't care. They go out there and play both hurt and injured. And I don't think that their teams are looking at them and saying, hey, don't get hurt for our regular season. They understand that country is greater than city, and these guys are going out there competing. And like I read the quote from Jack Hughes earlier. He said, you ask anyone in this room, the NHL season is on the back burner. We got Canada and U.S. Thursday. That's all that matters right now. Like, these players want to win for the United States. They want to win for the narrative that the United States has passed Canada as the hockey country. They are not worried about the New Jersey Devils. They are not worried. Like Connor McDavid can't be worried about the Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers. Like, they are going out there trying to compete, and they'll worry about their injuries and what happens in the second half.
That's good. I would hope for that. And you have to wonder if, you know, the NBA is thinking about, you know, USA versus world. How about they just break it up, you know, maybe keep two American countries and then two European countries or something to put some more intensity into the actual game so these people keep complaining. And, you know, you mentioned Ben Simmons. Isn't it ironic that him and James Harden are on the same team? Right, just, you know, go back 2 years ago, traded for each other. You know, I'm not gonna say Harden was a wrecking ball for the Sixers franchise, but it was a little bit, you know, they had their time, and then he was chucked, and Ben Simmons, you know, comes here, barely plays any games. Now they put them on the same court. I mean, listen, but as much as it can't be as bad as putting two sticks from a tree on a team like, you know, the Sixers, designed to bring Paul George with Embiid. That is also very funny with the Sixers.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious for a couple reasons. Right, Daryl Morey wouldn't let Sean Marks get off the phone until he made the trade to send, you know, Ben Simmons to Brooklyn and James Harden to reunite, you know, in Philly. I hated all of that. I never wanted that trade to go through. But I also thought it was funny that Ben Simmons got on the podcast talking about, yeah, I didn't appreciate Philadelphia fans. Like, they've got real fans, whether they're booing you or they're cheering you. You know, they have fans that care. And I'm like, bro, now, you know, he basically talked about the Nets fans being like little brother to the Knicks and not being like a real fan base. Now you have Clipper fans and that big fake wall that they built, and they're paying fans to go out there and cheer for you. You're on a little brother team in LA with James Harden. So whatever. I don't care about Ben Simmons or James Harden or the Clippers. Anything else, Josh?
Yeah, last thing, you know, I realize with the Mets, they don't need to chase after a pitcher anyway. If you look at the beginning of their schedule, the first few weeks, it looked pretty easy. You know, they have the Astros, they have the Marlins, they have the Athletics mixed in, and you know, the Astros might be a little tough, but not too much. You know what, let's hold off. Don't run and sign another player, even though, you know, there's no bad one-year deals. But, you know, the position's easy in the first half, so don't rush.
That's it, Josh. C-Mac is coming up next. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Man. WFAN, New York.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.